think of all the things that surprised me the most when I went from being an actor to going into casting was no one has time anymore to invest or indulge a temperament. Your reputation seems to be much, much more important than it used to be.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. Insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Welcome back to Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. Today, we're going to be talking about musical auditions. Musicals can be really a lot of fun, and if you're a singer and you are struggling, or perhaps you'd like some inside suggestions on how to make your auditions better, you've come to the right place. I'm excited to share some information with you about musicals today. We're going to break it down into several little areas first. The reason I like breaking things down into areas is I really feel that having a structure to the way you approach the work does not constrict your creativity, but rather it enhances your ability to make your audition feel better, for you to get much more creative in an audition process when it is supported by good structure. I really believe that. Now, musical auditions can be really nerve-wracking sometimes, I know. I've auditioned for many musicals in the past, and I've booked some musicals in the past, and I love doing them. I loved the process of doing them, and I always was frustrated with the way my auditions turned out. In fact, it's always true that those musical auditions I did that I really didn't care that much about or didn't have a real interest in are the ones that I always seem to book, where the ones that I really thought would be great or the project that I really wanted badly, I always ended up not doing so well. So I don't know what the psychology is of that. But what I can tell you is that desperation for a job never got you a job. So as we look at some of the musical audition breakdown points that I want to make for you today, we're going to first talk a little bit about preparing your book, the type of material that you have ready to go when you're asked to do an audition. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about your energy and what kind of presence you need to have when you walk into the room to do the audition. Then I'm going to spend a little time with you talking about how lyrics can make a big difference in the way you sing your song. It sounds kind of obvious, but if I break it down for you, you might have a little bit of an aha moment with some of the choices I'm going to be helping you with today. And then I'm going to talk to you about some common mistakes that I see in musical auditions. And then finally, we're going to talk about the virtues of having a really great musical audition, how that makes you feel, and how you can leave the room feeling really swell, really accomplished with your efforts. And that's always a good way to end anything, is to feel good about what just took place. And so I think that will round out our time together today. But let's first now talk about preparing your book. I know that everybody has an idea about what should be in their book, but let me just go through a basic checklist. And when I say your book, clearly this is your music. It is put into a 3-ring binder with non-glare sheet protectors so that the accompanist can flip through the pages, that the music is very easy to read. It's not Xeroxed 400 times, that the cuts that you might need to make in your music is so clearly and well defined that the accompanist is not going to have any issues at all about reading what you are doing. I've seen actors come in with books that were difficult to have pages turned, where I literally had an actor who had post-it notes pointing to where they wanted to start and where they wanted to make the cut in the song that they were going to be doing. Kind of crazy, that. But as far as your book is concerned, the physical act of bringing in your book and having a small library of options that are available and that you feel good about each and every one of those options in your book can make a big difference in your confidence level. I'm going to talk about one item in your book that a lot of people don't spend much time on, and that's the specialty number. And what I call the specialty number is something that is really vocally interesting and or unique to your personality. All of the music choices that you have should be conducive to your energy, your personality, your presentation. That goes without saying. But I'm talking about a specialty number that is so different and unique to you, what you bring to it, that it really is a wonderful way to make a statement about who you are and what you're about. You know, I'm not sure how many listeners are listening to this at this very moment, but I can tell you that you're probably wondering, well, I'm not sure what that is. If you've been in a musical and the role was a particularly wonderful experience, that's the kind of material that I'm talking about. It can be vocally unique. It can be performance-wise. It can have some unique interest to it. It can be really something that shows off your vocal range, or it can be limiting in range but have a very difficult lyric set to it. There's something about this particular song that you know no one else is going to do because it is, in fact, unique to you. That would be the number one choice that you need to really think about. How is this my specialty song? So filter through all of your material. Now, the second piece in the book should be a comedy song. It doesn't have to be a patter song, and it doesn't have to be hilarious, elbow to the ribs, knee-jerk song, but something that's funny, upbeat, again, personality-driven. That can be really a valuable tune, depending upon what you're auditioning for, but everyone needs a really good comedy song. I remember there was this one time when I looked down on notes that Pat had written about an actor, and she wrote, blah, blah, blah. And that was really uncharacteristic of her. She never writes anything negative about an actor down on the back of their resume. Apparently, it's a Noel Coward song called Blah, Blah, Blah. So I guess I was really in the doghouse for a little while over that one. Blah, blah, blah. But that was a wonderful comedy song. And if you don't know the song, it's just kind of fun to take a look at it. Blah, blah, blah. So that's the specialty song, the comedy song. The third one is a legit. Whatever your legit strengths are, whether that is a belt, showing me a full range of a belt song, or whether or not you have a more legit operatic sound, basso profundo, if you have something really deep and rich, gotta be in your book. The next thing in your book is a Sondheim song. And the only reason I say Sondheim song, and of course there are Sondheim-like songs, but Stephen Sondheim has such a unique way of writing, both lyric and musically. It becomes a category almost all its own, I believe. Plus, the amount of material that is available is interesting. Plus, the amount of theaters that are doing his work still is quite in demand. I just think it should be a part of anyone's book. And then finally, of the categories, and I know that there are other categories here, but these would be the essential categories, I think, would be a rock or contemporary song. It could be either a faster paced song or a ballad. It doesn't really matter. But having something of a contemporary nature that sort of matches the style of some of the more contemporary shows that we're seeing would be really, really helpful, of course, just because it gives you a lot of variety. So those are the book preparation material that I think are essential ingredients to have. Next, we're talking about walking into the room for the audition. Nervous energy has no place when you walk into an audition room with a musical piece. And this is your subtext. I'm really looking forward to showing you what I can do. That simple, keeping it that simple, being very focused about that. And physically, when you walk over to the pianist, you have the clearly laid out place in your book. You don't want to spend too much time. In fact, the more efficient you are in explaining what you're looking for in terms of just tempo, for example, that might be all you need to do. Chances are that a good accompanist will know exactly what you're looking for. And so just the briefest statement about tempo, that's all you need to do. Then physically, you need to go over, stand in your space, and then, of course, look over to the accompanist and acknowledge it's time to begin. So I've seen the physicality part become really, really odd. Taking your place on the stage or in the audition room sometimes becomes one of where the energy is so lacking that we're not sure that you really are that interested in performing. On the other hand, I've seen so much energy go into it, and then suddenly we're hearing notes for a ballad that it just makes no sense. So be really connected to what you are about to do. It's almost as if you can project the energy that you want from this song into the room at the moment you're ready to do the performance. Having that kind of focus and then your connection to the material will be much easier to get to. Here's an exercise that I think everybody who has a musical piece or some musical auditions that they're preparing for, and I've seen talent not do this enough, and that is that they should write out the lyrics and perform the lyrics as a monologue. What happens when you do that, and by the way, the podcast on monologues I think is really useful, but now you have lyrics that you're using as a monologue. The reason I like that is that there's all kinds of wonderful acting things to be discovered. So you'll have to find a character. You'll have to have a connection to the other person in the room. And I don't mean in the audition room. I mean in the moment of your delivering of this monologue. In other words, who are you talking to? What's the prior action? What's the objective? Why are you speaking to this person? And if you treat the lyrics as a monologue, you're going to make some really great discoveries that can help you. That's a great suggestion, I think, for those of you who really just are spending way too much time thinking about your technique. I see some wonderful voices out there spend so much time on the way that they sound and their voice that they really don't give enough attention to what they are saying while they are singing it. And that's really a loss, because you've spent all this time and technique on vocal development, and you haven't spent enough time on communicating what you need to communicate during the course of this song. So here's another suggestion. If you've now worked on the monologue, now you can video your musical audition. You can either do it with an accompanist, or you can do the monologue. A video record of your work is a really great way to find nuanced moments in the music or in the words. You can find moments in the work that have previously been undiscovered. So when you video record your audition, your musical audition, or for that matter, any audition, don't play it back and sort of look generally at what you're doing. Knowing that you're videotaping yourself and that you try to recreate what the audition would feel like in the moment, and then go back, take a look, see if there's something that can yet be discovered. Did you accomplish those objectives that you set out for yourself? Here are some common mistakes I see in musical auditions almost all the time, especially in open calls where you only have 32 bars, for example, to make some kind of an impression, is that the actor is too reflective of the material. They're not present. They're not in the moment. And you've heard that from directors, I'm sure, all the time. Being in the moment literally is that you have a sense of yourself at that time, and you're not looking back or reflecting back on a previous experience, that this is an experience that's happening now, both literally as the audition and figuratively as the character who's trying to communicate with whatever it is they're trying to communicate in the lyrics of their song. Common mistake number two is I see actors not fill in the musical introduction of the piece with some kind of prior action or thought or energy. Something happens that sparks your starting to sing. So let me see that prior action. So fill the introduction. It's not just waiting for you to start singing. That introduction is there to get yourself emotionally psyched up, to get yourself into that moment that I just talked about, to feel present, but then something happened that sparked the reason for you to start singing. And then, just like monologues, at the end of the song, there needs to be a clear final beat, a button on the number, you know what that is, some kind of final moment of self-expression to whoever you're singing to that ends that moment, that ends it. You need a clean, clear, concise beat at the end. I don't see that oftentimes I see and hear the money note, and then I hear the last few notes of the tune, and then you're done and you stop and then you walk away as if like, okay, that's it, I'm done now. In reality, there's a moment that you can really take advantage of by showing me some of your acting skills and giving me a final physical beat at the end of the song. Those are some common mistakes I see. Other common mistakes, they're not mistakes as much as they are messy. One is, don't forget to thank your accompanist. They're playing for 150 people in an open call. Thanking that accompanist is always a really nice thing to do. It also shows me that you're a caring person, and that's always a good thing. Exit efficiently. When you leave the room, make sure it's a clean exit. Please don't comment on the song. Don't let me know that, you know, you have a cold. You don't need to do that. Let the last moment of the song, that beat, be the last expression you really want to share. The rest is just you as a professional exiting efficiently. But by the same token, it's that you be ready for another request. I see this happen all the time where the performer is thrown because the director says, what else you got? What else you got in your book? Do you have anything? ... fill in the blank. And if you can answer, yes, well, I sure do. How about so-and-so? It's always a great response rather than, and I hear this often, I don't know. I just don't. Can you hear the plane running out of the fuel, crashing into the ocean? That was a little harsh, I'm sorry, but you understand my point. Be ready. More often than not, you might have another request. If it doesn't happen, that means nothing. If it does happen, you need to be ready for it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, here are the virtues of a really, really good audition. Something you can't teach. And just to remind you that it's the joy of performance that we are most interested in. Whether it's a sad song or not, whether it's a comedy piece, whether it's a belt, whether it's a legit, whatever, what's really great is that inner joy that you can connect with. And when you do connect with that during an audition, it's a magical, wonderful thing. I'm not saying that you have to have that feeling at every moment, but get in touch with why you want to be a performer in the first place. And treat the audition as if it's a performance and not an audition, please. That can really help a lot, I think. Finally, I will share with you, just remove expectations about the outcome of an audition, just like any audition. As long as you're prepared, you've warmed up, you know your book, you have a joy of performance, your auditions are going to be spectacular. And the best feedback that you're going to get is when that casting director calls you back for yet another audition. I'm confident that if you follow those simple things, you're going to have an exceedingly good time with all of your future auditions. I now just want to take a quick moment to tell you about some upcoming podcasts. I'm going to do an entire podcast about pictures and then another one about resumes. So you might want to stay tuned for those things. And exactly how do you find the best photographer? What kind of questions should you ask a potential photographer for your headshot? That is extremely invaluable information, I think. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Dreisbach. This is Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.